Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano, live from Wilsonville Killer Burger on 750 The Game.
They got me out of the studio. I am broadcasting today in Wilsonville. Right off I-5 at the Killer Burger location in Wilsonville. I'm going to check out Oregon State's home opener on Saturday. They will be playing Idaho State at home. Oregon plays Idaho, hosts Idaho later in the day. Joining us now, as he will throughout the season, Trent Bray, the Oregon State head football coach. All right, you and I are going out for a burger. What are you ordering? What kind of burger do you like, Trent Bray?
I'd go bacon burger.
Okay. You're all right with a little bacon on it? Are you one of those guys that likes it all loaded up, or are you like, you like bacon, but you're not going to, it's not going to be dripping out of your hands, or do you like a messy burger?
I like a fried egg on a burger for sure.
Okay. Yeah. I like that. How are you feeling about this this home opener as it creeps towards us?
Feel great, ready to go, excited to watch these guys play.
As a coordinator, you got real focused as kickoff approached. As a head coach, can you be different, or is it just kind of who you are that you kind of start to bear down and focus as the game gets closer and closer?
Yeah, I think it's just who I am. I'm just constantly reviewing, you know, situations that might come up and calls you're ready to make or things you're ready to do. I think that's just been a big part of my process.
I can tell you this. I've never coached a football game, but I coached a third-grade basketball game once. Once the game started, it was a blur. And everything that was coming up that I never imagined would come up, all these things I hadn't thought about, I can't wrap my head around what it would be like to be a head coach. I think first and foremost, though, you'd have to trust your coordinators. And so, you know, have you guys as a staff kind of rehearsed a little bit? I guess you do in a scrimmage. Rehearsed a little bit of how that flow of the game will unfold with you in the headset, and who are you listening to, and, you know, who are you probably more involved with the defense? Like, have you guys talked about that at all?
Yeah, we've practiced it, not just in scrimmage, but we do a lot of situational stuff, 2-minute, 4-minute, and using headsets in practice and communicating just like we would on a game day. So we've been practicing and doing that stuff for a while.
You're going to pace?
I probably will. I don't think I can control that. That's one of those things that just happens. I just got to probably stay in a little bit shorter box than I'm used to.
Right, because when you're the coordinator, you can get way, you can get, because I know you, I suspect you were kind of watching on the screen while you're playing, like you're calling the defense, but you're in kind of your quiet space in your head, but you're watching on the screen. But as a head coach, they're going to probably want you to stay between the 30s or so.
Yeah, and I'll have to be around the action and all that stuff. So it'll I'll have to work through that probably the first quarter.
Bruce Barnum was on the show yesterday, the Portland State coach. He had high praise for the guy that you are starting at quarterback. He saw him last year at Idaho. We got a good look at him. I want to play what Bruce Barnum said about Giovanni McCoy, because, you know, at Portland State he got a pretty good look at him. And then I'm going to give you a little bit of what his scout of Idaho State was. But, you know, he talked about Giovanni McCoy. Here's Bruce Barnum.
The kid can win games for you. You know, sometimes you have those quarterbacks going into a season, you're like, oh, you know, such and such, he's just good enough to lose. That kid's good enough to win. He can get after it. He's smart with the football. You know, he can run.
What did you see in this fall camp that you liked about Giovanni?
Yeah, I think he kind of touched on it. He has just a knack for finding, you know, ways to move the football, you know, whether it be with his legs or his arms. He made good decisions, and as fall camp went along, you start to see him get more comfortable with the playbook, and then his natural ability and kind of instincts took over, and that's really that last week kind of what separated him for us.
The ability to use your legs, I mean, in today's game, I think everybody's looking for a quarterback that can do multiple things. You have a variety of different quarterbacks in that room that have different skill sets. Will you play more than one in this game, or do you go in just saying he's the starter and we adjust as you go?
We're going to go in with, you know, with Giovanni being the starter and go, and then situations will come up where we'll most likely, hopefully, play other guys. But to start the game, it's Giovanni. We're behind him. Let's go.
The defense, I think everybody's expecting it's going to be a strength. What do you need to see Saturday, or what do you, you know, points of emphasis for you?
Yeah, I want to see them play fast. That's the biggest thing. It's a big part of what we've done on defense and who we've been is how fast and physical we play, and then that ties into the tackling and block destruction. You know, that's the big thing is it's more about how we do things than what we do. It's really imposing our will physically and with our effort that I want to see most out of the defense.
Bruce Barnum said he thought Idaho State would try to test you guys and test your secondary. Have you challenged those guys, or is that something you kind of do on a week-to-week basis?
We're always challenging those guys, and then they know that, and we talk a lot about they are the last line of defense, and we do a lot of things to put them in strong positions against the people we face. So I'm excited about that group in the back end and looking forward to seeing what they can do.
I don't know if you remember the first game you had as a D coordinator. I do, and I saw how those kids played for you. And I'm curious this week to see this team come out and play. But, you know, there's a lot of procedural stuff you're doing as a head coach that maybe you didn't do as a coordinator, and it's probably not the stuff you love. But give us an idea, you know, when will Trent Bray kind of get into rhythm and get into just coaching, you know, after all the walkthrough, after all that stuff? Or are you eager to get to game time and the kickoff, I guess is what I'm asking?
Yes, I am. We've talked a lot, and we've been through practice and talked about situations and all that stuff. I'm ready to go do it, and so are our players.
I'm curious to see the defense, your front seven in particular. It's always in football a point of emphasis. You want to disrupt the other team. You want to, as you said, you want to have a point of attack there that is disruptive and a problem for other teams. But give us an idea, personnel wise, how do you feel about this team up front on the defense?
I feel good about the personnel. I've said it for a while about, you know, from a talent base, I think we got it here to do what we want to do on defense and up front. And then it's just those guys kind of going back to wanting to see them play fast. I think we've done a good job throughout the week, Coach Hayward and his staff, of getting those guys ready from a mental standpoint so they can go out and not think and fly around and show off their athletic ability.
What do you need from the crowd?
Be what they've always been, just a great source of energy, making it very difficult for the opposing team to operate.
Do you remember the first time as a college player, maybe you took the field and maybe, or your first start, as a player, I'm sure there was a bit of nerves. Is it the same as a coach? Did you have nerves as a young coach entering a game, or is it more, hey, we've done everything we can possibly do, we've prepared for every situation, it's now up to these guys to go out and perform?
As a player, I never got nervous or anything like that. As a young coach, I did, because I no longer had any control over the outcome. So that was hard for me as a young coach to do that. And so I got more nervous probably as a coach than I did a player, just for that reason.
You've been around head coaches, including Jonathan in the last couple of years, Jonathan Smith. And, you know, who do you draw upon when you kind of look at your mentors head coach-wise?
Yeah, Mike Riley's been a big one. He's been at practices a lot this summer. Brent Brennan at Arizona is always a good friend and a great source of information. Just a lot of the things I've gone through. Those are probably the two that I've talked to on a regular basis the most.
Riley's so interesting, because I almost felt like sometimes he was so calm on the sideline. He just sort of had this peace about him. Jonathan had a little bit of that to him too. Like, he would walk down to you during the game and he might say something to you had nothing to do with the football game. But Trent Bray does not strike me as that kind of guy. You are, I don't want to say you're wound tight, but you're locked in, man. And I think your players love playing for you on the defensive side. Leadership-wise, you got guys like Jaden Robinson back there. Who else do you need a big year from a leadership standpoint on this team?
On this team, from a leadership standpoint, you know, Josh Gray's been a great leader, you know, as we've gone for the offense. I think really the guys that have been here and have seen this program and have kind of helped build this program from what it was to what it is, Melvin Jordan's been a guy that's been around for a little bit that knows the standard that is set and what the standard is. So it's really those guys that have been here and know it and continuing to help the guys that just got here or are freshmen and understand what it takes to play here and what it takes to do what we want to do.
We're talking to Trent Bray. He is the Oregon State head football coach. First game Saturday, Idaho State at Research Stadium. Expect a good crowd and great weather. Offensively, this is a team that in the spring game, it looked clunky to me in the spring game, but you didn't have your quarterbacks. Your offensive line were out. This is not the team that's going to take the field. How different do you think you guys are now, maybe versus the spring game when a lot of Beaver fans and media, that's the last time we really saw you in a competitive situation?
Yeah, I think it's night and day. I think the growth that we've had as an offensive football team and up front, the guys getting comfortable with playing with each other and understanding, strengths, weaknesses, making communications, all those things, from an operational standpoint, the just functioning at a higher level, higher speed. So I'm very, very, very impressed with their growth and happy with where they're at right now.
All right, give me an idea. What happens between Wednesday night and Saturday as far as, you got some practices, you'll kind of start to throttle down here, but, what are you really focused on that you can control as a head coach between now and Saturday?
What I'll do is I'll take a look at, I watch a lot of games and situations that come up and get 2 minute, timeouts, when you use them, when you don't. Kind of using the analytics and all those things that I got to be prepared to do on Saturday. Those are the things I will rehearse from tonight until game day.
Do you have someone who will be in your ear going, hey, 2 minute warning's coming, you got 2 timeouts here? Is that somebody's job? I don't know. I'm not on the headset with you.
Yes, it is.
I'm happy to do it. But
quality control. Yeah.
But I always wonder because you see some guys. Some coaches, especially the offensive guys, not so much the defensive guys, but the offensive guys, they're in the flow of play calling, and sometimes they lose track of the game. And I've asked some other coaches, I said, do you have someone in your ear whose job it is just to kind of center you and go, hey, it's 3rd and 8, we've got 2 timeouts, now you got a 2 minute warning to worry about? There's another wrinkle, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and it is. And I've always been like, I'm going to have someone that I'm going to communicate with just myself about those things. And so I'll be having a conversation with him back and forth as these situations are happening. And then click over and talk to a coordinator when that time is appropriate. And those are the things we really practiced a ton situationally in fall camp.
The most fun you had in fall camp, what just popped into your head? At what point was Trent Bray having the most fun?
Oh, geez. I don't know if I have a certain moment. It was all kind of new and taking everything in and just continuing to try to get these guys better. But I kind of say that last scrimmage, I thought I saw, what I was kind of hoping to see in that last scrimmage from an offensive and defensive standpoint. So I was very happy with where we were. So that'd probably be it.
Yeah, I walked over. I don't know if you saw, but I walked over to your practice, your walkthrough before the scrimmage, and it was not open to the media, but I kind of acted like I knew I was supposed to be there, and I kind of walked into the stadium, and one of your guys, your trooper guy who's now on your staff, kind of grabbed me and said, hey, but I looked out, and I just kind of surveyed you guys, and from a physical standpoint, you guys look physical, and Trent Bray's pacing in the end zone, just like the old days. Like, there's a feel to this program that I think people are eager to see you guys come out and play. I don't know if it'll surprise you guys if you play really well or not surprise you. I don't know what it'll mean to you, but I think that media and fans are really looking to this team to come out and play well and have fun, given everything that Oregon State and Washington State have been through in the last year. But will that hold any extra meaning to you to see your guys put a complete effort together? Or do you have to, as a coach, compartmentalize that and just be like, it has to only be about what we're doing in these 4 quarters?
Yeah, that's really it. It's just about what we're doing and how we do it in that time that we need to do it. All that extra stuff is kind of, you look back after the season and then realize all that stuff. But in the moment, it's all about that moment.
It's going to happen fast. I will see you on Saturday at the stadium. I appreciate you joining us every week. I'm going to try to throw you off off guard a little bit, ask you about, you know, try to humanize you a little bit outside of football. But can you afford to do anything outside of football in the next 72 hours? Like, will you watch a Netflix show? Do you go for a run? Do you give me one? Do you barbecue just to kind of get, you know, a moment of clarity? Not that you're not thinking about football, but it can't be all football in the next 72 hours, can it?
No, Thursday, tomorrow's a short day for us. And we usually, that's the day we all go home early as coaches and get a chance to spend time. I got a bunch of family coming in, so I'll get away and get my mind on something else, which is healthy for me.
I like that. All right, Trent Bray, I'll see you at the stadium. Good luck to you. And I'll see you in the postgame.
All right, sounds good. Appreciate it.
There he is, Oregon State's first-year head coach. He is locked in. I don't want to say he's wound tight. People always say that. I think it's cheap to throw that around. Just be, oh, he's wound tight. I think he's a guy that, when he's a coordinator, is locked in a way that is very focused. He's maniacally focused on that defense. I will be really curious to see if Trent Bray, as a head coach, can get back and see things from 20,000 feet, because he can't stay in that mindset. He cannot stay in that mindset like he was as a coordinator, can he? Now, a couple things that I'm interested in beyond Trent Bray's performance as a head coach. One, he's got to be 1-0, and they have to look good doing it. I think it would be really important for Oregon State fans to see them not get, like, just a win in this game against a Big Sky opponent, but look really good doing it. I also think the offense has got to show something, because there's going to be opponents this season who are going to score. And I need to know that Ryan Gunderson's offense, whether it's Javonte McCoy or if it's Ben Gulbranson at quarterback, I need to know that they can put up 35 in a game, 40 point. Can they score 40 in a game? I need to know that they're that kind of offense, because I think most people are looking at Oregon State going, hey, they're going to have to be a team that runs the football really well, plays defense, and tries to score in the high 20s, low 30s, and win games that way. I want to see this team go out and just have a really good offensive performance where we see some playmakers that we think can make plays against non-Big Sky opponents. Really interested to see that performance. We're going to have Trent Bray on the show throughout the season. I am going to get that guy comfortable doing an interview and talking about things that have nothing to do with football. I guarantee you, I will either have to meet him in his space or he will have to meet me in mine. But we are working through it, and I love that you're here for it. Tomorrow on the show, it'll be Dan Lanning, who he used to be kind of quiet and understated when we first started doing interviews. And he's really come out of his shell in the last two seasons. And we'll also have Rob Mullins on the program, Oregon Athletic Director. I want you to leave it here.